This morning we continue our series, our sequence of passages, narratives from the Gospel of John that are rather lengthy, but are full of drama and tension and creative tension and just full of meaning. This one is the raising of Lazarus, which is in a way, well, very much intended to be by Christ's own ministry, a foreshadowing of his own resurrection. So John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Hear the word of the Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It must have seemed hopeless. They, the sisters, had hoped that their brother Lazarus would get better. They had hoped that their friend Jesus would get there in time. They had hoped and hoped, and then their hopes were dashed. And now Martha and Mary grieved for their brother, their dead brother, their brother for whom they now had no hope. Because there was no longer any hope, not really, not with regard to his living, not for them, hope was now irrelevant. Now it was a matter of burial, of mourning, of looking back on a past that truly had passed, of knowing that things would no longer be the same. As Martha and Mary saw things, it really was over. Their brother was gone, never to be seen again in this life. To remember him only as a loved one from the past, and in the present, no longer to share with him, no longer to laugh with him, no longer to work and play with him, that was now how things were to be. And they knew it. Not hope, but despair, they knew, or at least sorrow, would mark their days, for quite some time anyway, as its pain eventually, hopefully, would become less acute and morph into a dull ache of perpetual loss, still painful, but bearable. When Jesus arrived, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Now, at the risk of recalling the Wizard of Oz or the Princess Bride, that's not kind of dead. It's not mostly dead. That's really, really dead. The common belief then was that the soul of a dead person hovered around the body for 3 days. But after that, there was no going back. With Lazarus, it was 4 days. Too late, way too late. Truly, Lazarus was gone. For Jesus to arrive now would be only so he could pay his respects. That would be nice. They'd like that. And it would be nice for him to be near the sisters in solidarity with their grief. They'd like that too. And it would be nice for him to offer what words of comfort he could in this difficult time. I'm sure they'd appreciate that very much. When Martha sees him, she greets him with words full of pain and tinged with accusation. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Then with a smidgen of faith and a gesture of forgiveness, she offers this, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. She's right, but more than she understands. Your brother will rise again, Jesus says. I know that, Lord, she replies, thinking that he is giving her one of those trite cliches offered to the bereaved in their time of loss, like, he's in a better place, or I guess it was his time to go. You've heard those, right? Here's a helpful hint. When you are with someone who has just lost a loved one, don't say that. Just don't. So Martha hangs in there and says, I know, Lord, I know he will rise at the resurrection on the last day. Ah, says Jesus, but I myself am the resurrection, as I am the life. And to those who believe in me, I will give life, eternal life. Soon Jesus goes to where Lazarus is buried, to the tomb. And let's understand what the tomb really is, what it really means. It's that place of finality, that place of ending, that place where all is past tense, all is memory and recollection, that place absent all anticipation and hope and shared todays and tomorrows. He goes to the tomb, and at first he is moved to tears, angered even by the mania of despair that grips cruelly this world, by the diabolical power of death to ruin and tear apart everything. He doesn't dismiss these. He takes death seriously, and it moves him. And then, wiping away his tears, Jesus prays, lifting his eyes upward, and he thanks God for having already heard him even before he says a word, for answering his prayer even before he prays it. He thanks his Father in advance for his answered prayer. And having prayed, Jesus walks up to the tomb. He stands there, full of power, full of mercy, full of love, full of life. He raises his voice and commands Lazarus to come out. And against all expectations, the occupant of that house of death answers Christ's command and walks out, no longer dead, no longer imprisoned by death, but alive because of the gift Jesus has given him. With this, we see another one of the Lord Jesus' special gifts, and that is the gift of life. Jesus gives life and brings hope. He destroys death and removes the curse. That is his gift. Jesus can give this gift. He can give life because he himself is life, the resurrection and the life. I am, he says, the resurrection and the life. Martha, maybe we have this in common with her. Martha thought of the resurrection, you know, some of us probably do as well, thought of the resurrection as something entirely in the distant future, what some call the general resurrection, when at the end of time, the dead who are blessed will be raised by God. And so when Jesus says that Lazarus will rise, she right away thinks he means something down the road for Lazarus, a distant hope. But Jesus tells Martha and then shows her that the resurrection is not only then, it's also now. It's not only future, but also present. And that's because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. For us who, by faith, live in Jesus Christ, resurrection has happened and continues to happen again and again. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We who believe in Christ are being raised to new life even in the here and now. We experience in our todays the gift of life and the destruction of death. We feel eternal life making its way into the present. Because of all that, I wonder how I should answer when I'm asked, as I sometimes am, maybe you are too, when were you saved? Or when were you born again? Frankly, I'm not sure that these are very good questions. Sure, I understand why people are wanting to know when they ask, what people are wanting to know when they ask me these things. They're wanting me to share my story of faith in Jesus. And I appreciate that, I really do. But we who believe in Jesus are always being saved, always being converted, continually being born again. Once it begins, it's always happening to us and in us. It is both complete and being fulfilled. It's never entirely in our past, nor completely in our future. We who believe in Jesus and strive to follow him, who by numerous miracles, big and small, do manage to follow him, are experiencing conversion and new birth and resurrection every single day. Jesus stood before Lazarus' tomb and called to him, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out. And so he does even today. Jesus stands before our tombs, tombs of hopelessness and despair, graves of emptiness and hunger, crypts of regret and shame, caskets of hatred and greed. He stands there, full of power, full of mercy, full of love, full of life. And he raises his voice to summon us out of our graves. He commands us to leave behind death, for it no longer binds us. He gives us his gift, the gift of life, new life, life physical and life eternal, life filled with hope and joy, freshness and possibility, forgiveness and reconciliation. Jesus calls and the dead walk from their graves. He does this again and again. Every day he does it. An ongoing raising of the dead to new life, because that is his gift. It's a gift, I tell you, to greet a new day with prayer, confessing yesterday's failures and embracing Christ's renewing forgiveness. And every morning to see that Jesus has taken yesterday from our grip, forgiven it, and given us back a new day. It's a gift, I tell you, to pray with the ill and with the physically dying, and to share in common with them the peace and hope and assurance of Christ's gift of eternal life. It's a gift, I tell you, to follow Jesus with restored living, to join him in his work, loving the loveless, befriending the friendless, welcoming the unwelcome. It's a gift, I tell you, to be unexpectedly reconciled, as I was last week, with a friend whose friendship had been truly broken, and to know that the reconciliation was the resurrecting power of Jesus. It's a gift, I tell you, to hear Christ's resurrecting call, to follow him and obey him, to accept his forgiveness and to forgive others, to see and know and celebrate his gift of new life. My friends, I urge you to seek and welcome Christ's gift of new life every day, making it visible in your lives to the glory of God. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Loving God, we praise you that Jesus conquers death. Again and again, he conquers death. We ask, Lord, that you give us his gift of new life every day, that you raise the dead, and help us to join you in that work. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.